Well, as I say, better late than never. A little difficulty at the station. I guess they had a party going on or something, and a lot of people in, and kind of left us hanging. My guest today on Sundays with Papa Jeff is Bob Rose, president of the Meditation Society of America. And so I am confident that those of you who were wondering what was going on stuck with us and are still tuned in, because I know Bob's going to be a delight for us, whether you are an expert long-term meditator or new to meditation or somewhere along that continuum. Bob Rose is going to have some things of interest to you, and hopefully this show will interest you. Those of you who listened before know that Sundays with Papa Jeff is primarily about meditation and the benefits of meditation on a practical level and certainly on a spiritual level. So, Bob, you with us? Hello? Hello, Bob? Well, this is going to be one of the... This is going to be one of those days. If you're listening at the studio, would you give Bob Rose a call, please, at 610? If you're listening to Sundays with Papa Jeff or trying to, there's been some confusion at the station. I think it sounds like they got a major party going on with a lot of people coming in, so that's great. It's California. We're coming to you from the Gulf of Mexico in calm St. Pete, Florida. Bob, you still with me?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thanks for your patience, Bob. We were supposed to be on at 2. But as I said, it's a kind of a Californian type of a radio station, and things happen like this, so I appreciate your patience. I don't know if people are hearing a second introduction. I opened the show and said, welcome to Sundays with Papa Jeff. We got a great guest on today. I'm really looking forward to spending some time with and hearing what you have to say, Bob. Sundays with Papa Jeff is typically about goal achievement strategies, along the mystic path, particularly with a focus on meditation. I teach a mystic heart meditation and a variety of meditation techniques. And Bob Rose has meditation for people, whether you're an expert long-term meditator or new to meditation or somewhere in between. I know that we're going to have some fun things of interest to you today and quite possibly some fascinating things for you. So welcome to the show, Bob. Thanks for agreeing to come on.
Well, thank you, Papa Jeff. You know, I love your work. I love your writing. I love the way you share. And I hope that we can be of benefit today to anyone listening.
Oh, great. Well, thanks,
and,
Bob.
And perhaps be able to point to things they haven't had pointed to or refresh them, should they know these things already.
All right. Bob, I would like to just kind of give you free rein to kind of move on and tell us about the Meditation Society and Meditation Station and call on me at any time. I'm not going to just leave you to go on for the whole half hour or 45 minutes or whatever we have left of today's show, but you're welcome to take any and all of it.
Right. Well, thanks. Meditation Society of America's primary goal, I think, at this point, is the sharing of meditation concepts and actual techniques, the actual how to do specific meditation techniques. And the thing I'm most interested in is if we can be effective in getting meditation in education. Because I think that America, particularly the whole left-hand side of the world, has been left out of something that's so vital, and that's ways to deal and cope with life, with stress, to have self-control. And the East has been very capable at giving that to its people. We've been doing good with giving material things to our inhabitants, but they lack the ability to cope with stress. Where in the East, they don't have the material stuff, but they do have ability to cope. And I usually joke around and say to people, have you used the geometry you were forced to learn in 10th grade? Shouldn't we instead have learned meditation techniques? So I feel that the greatest thing you can do with to help people, and Papa Jeff, you're a living example of this, you're dedicated to it, is to attain some kind of level of consciousness that brings you peace, and then share those techniques with others. There's no greater gift you can give someone, including $1 million, than the ability to be at peace with your life.
Well, Father, you know, those are great points, and I certainly want you to go on. I just want to commend a little affirmation there that certainly those of us who have had the great grace and gift of the benefit of some startling experience in meditation wouldn't trade it for $1 million. And I know that it's been your passion for some time to bring meditation into the education environment with younger people. What's your experience been there, and what sort of resistance and what sort of embrace have you had?
Well, I'm going to go back to 1987. We first proposed to one of the community colleges here, Delaware County Community College in Pennsylvania, that we teach a meditation course. And the lady who runs their educational programs, and they have a few hundred, this is for continuing adult education, actually said, well, it's a quack thing, but okay. We'll see if the community's interested. And we ran into obstacles right away. It was kind of funny. In the first series of classes, we usually give 1.5 hour classes over 10 weeks.
I'm hoping you'll give us a sample class today, a little excerpt from one. That would be great.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Okay.
And we never use God or point to a specific religion or say something's wrong or right. We just try and give a cornucopia of methodologies and basic strategies. Well, in the first couple classes, I may as well just say what they were, Christian fundamentalists, extreme right-wing Christianity, got very upset because I used the word Christ, because I quote from Buddha, I quote from Christ, I quote from lots of different great ones, holy ones. And believe it or not, they, in their form of fundamentalism, if you say the Lord's name, and to them, being Christians, Christ is the Lord, you're using it in vain.
To say it?
If you say the word Christ. And believe it or not, the lady who's in charge of the education, continuing education program, actually listened to them that that was a wrong thing to do. And I said, isn't a college supposed to be a place where freedom of educational expression is encouraged? And for using the word Christ, you're upset with me? You're listening to two people who complained? So she sent her assistant. Her assistant became completely addicted to meditation, found that it helped her blood pressure, found that it helped her relationship with her husband, who she pulled to the class. He taught there also. And to make a long story short, they enrolled for the next 6 years in a row in every class we gave. So we started being called quacks, and we ended up with 18 and a half straight years for 5 different educational programs of sold-out classes, psychiatrists sending their clients, cardiologists sending their clients, oncologists sending their clients, and they themselves coming to learn and then share meditation techniques.
Well, that's so great. It's taken a long time from 1987, but it with just a little stumble there, you got off the blocks. Have you attempted to make inroads in other educational settings, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. We had a drive a few years back where we contacted, there's something called the Council of the Great Cities, the 38 biggest cities, the school district chairpersons all belong to. So we contacted every one of them. We contacted every senator and virtually all of the House of Representatives, trying to get them to add meditation to education in their curriculums for every grade level from kindergarten up through graduate school. This was right after Columbine, because we, you know, used that as, shouldn't these kids have had a way to deal with their stress rather than what they chose? That's the most dramatically bad way. We got such a terrific response. It was unbelievable. Strom Thurmond, of all people, encouraged us.
The youngster.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was so surprising that you had people on the left, people on the right, people in the middle saying, yeah, this makes sense, this makes sense. It turns out, though, that none of the politicians, the governors, we went to virtually every mayor's office to, you know, sent letters, communications to them. It turns out that it is the local school districts that can add or take away things. And right now we are seeing yoga and meditation being added in lots and lots and lots of programs. About a year ago, Time Magazine had a cover issue where the whole issue was dedicated actually to meditation in education, because they kept playing on the theme of here it's being gathered in a college, here it's being gathered for kids, here it's being gathered for discipline problem children, here it's being gathered in prison. So we are finding this actually taking place.
Great. What are your hopes? What are you prognosticating?
There's nothing more vital. I think everything comes down to survival of the species. The species needs to have everyone in the world be good materialistically. So that's what the East needs. And for our survival, we really need to know how to chill. We need to know how to act appropriately, emotionally, intellectually, and physically.
Do you think there might be a better solution than Ritalin for the younger kids?
It's a good one. It's a very good one.
Well, as you know, Bob, and I don't want to stay on myself only for a moment, just by way of affirmation. As you know, I've been involved in this for 30 years, and I've come through the guru thing and time in the temple and with a young perfect master and meditation techniques, and then went on to some graduate work in visualization and guided imagery and hypnosis and meditation. And there's such a common thread that now what I do is I somewhat jokingly call it applied metaphysics. But I work with golfers and give them meditation techniques to improve their golf game. I work with smokers and I have something called a nuanced weight management system. So, and certainly stress, I think you and I spoke one time about that the vast majority of people who come to a meditation class, their initial interest is ways to handle stress and to gain some inner peace, some peace of mind. So I'm just offering that by way of affirmation, that I love to hear of other people who are involved in it, and especially as proactively as you are with the Meditation Society of America, which can be found at meditationsociety.com.
That's exactly right. If you Google meditation or meditation techniques, we're like anywhere from number one to number 10. And it's Meditation Station, and it is meditationsociety.com. And we have dozens and dozens of techniques which are how-to. We have concepts. We have dozens of concepts which show you the basis of what you're trying to do. And let me segue now, if you don't mind, Papa Jeff, into a kind of a class-like understanding, because I think it all comes down to understanding who you are, your real self, and meditation positions you properly. And I want to share how this goes down.
Great.
We are, in effect, physical, intellectual, and emotional people, but yet we're very out of balance. Some of us are way too physically reactive. Some of us are way too emotionally reactive. Some of us are way too mentally reactive. And you've got to become well balanced and not overwhelmed and not just totally reactive, or you can't act. Meditation puts you in a position where you can witness how you're reacting physically. Just like right this second, we can see, do we have too much tension or unneeded tension in our shoulders? And if we witness that, we can just let them relax. Are we uptight emotionally? Can't we just say, chill? And we will. If your mind's racing and racing, you can witness your mind racing and just, calm it down. The witness that can witness these things is who your real self is. Your witness is always witnessing, but your mind chatter distracts you from being in the position of being able to be at one with that witness. Meditation calms you. Meditation chills you. Meditation lets you sit in that witness seat. And once in that seat, you have control. When you're witnessing your physicalness, you're in the present moment. That's reality. And you can let your body do the task if it's a physical task. I think that's where you teaching about golf comes in.
Yes.
Your body knows how to drive a ball appropriately. But if you start thinking about it, or if you get all upset about it, it ain't going to happen.
That's right.
So any meditation technique ultimately puts you in the position of being the witness of your life as it's going on and taking place. And guess what? That's when reality takes place. Now, most of us are wasting our time rehashing the past, fantasizing about the future, and that ain't being in the present. So you're not dealing with reality. A meditation technique, virtually all of them, brings you to now. And you can look at your life. And when you can look at your life, if you see you're doing something that takes your peace away, stop it and do something that brings you peace. So that's the skill that you can attain with meditation. I'm not saying you'll get enlightened. Papa Jeff, you've reached that. That was a grace from God, a grace from a higher power, or just a grace from the universe. That's one thing. But everyone can attain a greater self-control of their life moment to moment to moment through meditation.
One of the things I'd like to add right here, Bob, if I may, just quickly, because you used the word grace a couple of times, and in the context of, partially in the context of working with golfers, what was really startling to me, not only was I gifted with an incredible measure of grace, for which I am humbled and grateful every moment, I found that it had a tremendous effect on my physical grace. I was a better dancer, a better golfer, just moved differently. So when we say witness and the results of that witness, you've been involved in 30 years, I've been involved in 30-some odd years, we can talk forever about this, because there are so many things that happen from moving, from by grace moving us into that witness chair, as you said, from that witness position where we are non-attached, where we're not so emotionally bound by outcome, but we are more flowing with the moment or going with the moment. So many of the phrases have become cliched and watered down and lost their meaning, but for those who will attune, there is just such a tremendous benefit from meditation. So I just felt the need to say that. Let me back out of the way, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also, like, your learning curve never seems to cease. It seems to grow. In the last year, I've found my body can make knives. I can take a piece of steel, I can take a piece of wood, and end up with a knife, which is, oh my goodness, I couldn't do that if I thought about how to do it. I couldn't do it if I tried to gain control over my body. But yet you find, if you just let things happen, they'll occur. And it's almost like magic. So the real magic in life is available to us, and it's just to be able to lead our life appropriately. When you have a mental thing you have to do, let your mind do it. When you have an emotional thing to do, let your emotions do it. When you have a physical thing you need to get done, let your body do it. And when you're in that witness position, all of a sudden you're well balanced. And things happen appropriately. I also want to give out a clue as to what's good and what's bad. I have a formula. If something takes your peace away, it's bad. If something brings you peace, and I mean real long-lasting peace, not like starting coke, you know, have peace for 20 minutes and then have frustration because you have to go out and hawk grandmom's TV to get more money for more coke. If something really brings you peace, lasting, that's good. So, if, you know, from being in a meditative state, you can understand, this is really good for me. Materialism is always going to turn out to be not good for you. Selfishness is always going to turn out to be not good for you. It won't bring you peace. Being selfless will always bring you peace. All the good adjectives, being kind, considerate, all the good Ten Commandments, following them, will bring you peace. So in an ongoing way, we can learn to let our body do its job, let our emotions do its job, let our intellect do its job, and if the job it's doing isn't bringing us peace, isn't making us comfortable in a real way, we should be able to see it and do the exact opposite and bring it and act in a peaceful manner.
Well, I love the way you use balance a lot, Bob, because it's just a wonderful ping pong match, if you will. Once you begin to practice meditation and the benefits of it begin to come through, you find that your conscious attitude improves. It's more positive. And the third element of that, of grace coming in, you know, and as I like to say quite often, that when we think of people who are kind and compassionate and unselfish and really caring and wise, we don't say they have a good brain or they're good thinkers. We say they have a good heart. And
right.
I think what meditation does, I like to use this model that meditation connects the head with the heart. We don't give up the rational process, but we add a holism to it. We bring into balance that, what I call an experience of pure intuitive consciousness, or what you might call the witness, where we have that witnessing and the rational linear process that's proved to be of great value to us. So meditation calms us so that our conscious attitude quietly assesses, as you were saying, what we need to do mentally or physically or emotionally, but from a quiet place, not from that place of agitation or sense of urgency or sense of immediacy that creates great tension and takes away our natural grace.
Right on the money. And I mean money is spiritual money, the right treasure. I have another formula for life, by the way, a surefire formula for spiritual evolution.
All right.
Compassion and humility. They're the two greatest things that you can have to grow spiritually. And you can't go wrong. If someone insults you, for instance, instead of letting your ego say, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about, oh, he's evil, oh, I feel terrible, da-da-da-da-da. If you have real humility, you'll be thankful that someone bashed down your ego, that someone attacked you, because maybe you do have something to learn from what they're pointing out. And if they're 100% wrong, you have to have compassion for them.
Mm-hmm.
My God, they're so off base. And they have to go around 24/7, 365, that off base in their approach to living. And in this case, what I'm describing, their approach to me, if they humiliated me.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't go wrong.
And it's, as you've said so well about it, the compassion and humility, rather than being a prescription, it's a description of how we become as we meditate, as we chill, as we enjoy that inner peace and that peacefulness of being here now and on this planet in this situation. What I find is that those, and I would put those in the category of grace, that compassion and humility show up in greater measure than they were in our lives. And so that when we, instead of being crushed by someone who insults us or cuts us off in traffic or says something ridiculous in attempts to humiliate us, what comes up is a compassion rather than a disdain or a defense of the ego, because, as you said, the ego hates to admit that it has something to learn or that there's a greater collective power than the individual ego. And so when meditation brings us to that place that we can look at another person with compassion and say, wow, that's where they are in their development, and as you said, and they have to live with that, we find ourselves saying a quiet prayer for them, saying, God, you know, bring them more light, bring them to that place where they can benefit from meditation. That's, you know, that's my passion, and certainly your passion to an incredible measure. That we don't want to move into the machine gun camp of saying, well, you know, I know what you need, I know what you need, I know what you need. But I think gently having an internet radio show where people have to go through some considerable lengths and today some patience to tune into our show, there's something going on in the universe that has drawn whoever may be listening to say maybe meditation can bring you a benefit that you haven't thought or imagined. What you will find is that you don't need to go to the store and have a prescription filled, and I mean that literally and figuratively, that what will become a description of your life is a person of compassion and humility and selflessness. And that, as one of my favorite teachers, Jesus, said, is when you really find life. That's when you really find a joy for life, that instead of controlling life, you let life present itself to you, and it just brings you to such a beautiful place. I read this week, and I want to get off my podium here fairly quickly. I read something this week from a guest who will be coming up soon in another couple of weeks, and in his book, The Inspired Heart, he wrote, the singular requirement of grace is that you remain attuned to the heart. And I just thought that was so beautiful, that once that grace has come in, we have an obligation, if you will. I know Bruce Morgan calls it a choiceless obligation because it's just the way we are, that we wish to stay attuned to that place of compassion and humility because there's such an incredible, joyful, peaceful reign in our life as we abide there.
know, absolutely eloquently and perfectly said. Papa Jeff, what have you been doing lately? I'm so pleased that you're able to share on the internet. What else is going on? I know you were telling me about you were going to be presenting with a hypnotherapy convention of some kind.
I have a few things going on. I have a Mystic Heart School of Meditation. I teach meditation classes here in St. Pete. And I'm working on a book called Out of the Blue, A Story of Awakening, that I'm up to 699 pages, and I just can't seem to wrap it up. It's autobiographical, and it moves into some areas, and it picks up a lot of the Yahoo group discussions that you and I are part of, a lot of different groups, and some of the exchanges there. And I recently said to Don James, a friend of ours, and I know that name's familiar to you on some of the groups, I can't seem to wrap this autobiography up. And he said, no, because you're still alive. I thought that was a great comment.
I know how it ends, and he lived happily ever after.
I'm just really enjoying it. As far as the hypnotherapy, I was invited to the American Board of Hypnotherapy out of Hawaii. They have a convention every year in Newport Beach, California. And I correspond with the president, and he and I share our view. As a matter of fact, I think I hooked you up with him for a little while, Alan Docker. I proposed that I come and teach a 2-day seminar to certify people as meditation teachers. And so I've been invited to do that in February. So I'll give a 2-day seminar to give a structure and a format for people to be certified as meditation teachers.
Excellent. Well, see, that brings me back to what we first spoke about, meditation and education. You're one of the leaders in trying to promote it yourself, and you've offered your wisdom, your experience, to have this expand geometrically, I hope, and may the teachers you teach others, and may they teach others, and, you know.
Well, I think that many of the great master teachers in spiritual context, the mystic context, or even in one of the things I do say is the mystic heart beats apart from any theistic language, so it doesn't necessarily need to be tied to any theology or words about God or any spiritual language. There's something that is part of the human experience that I believe is the destiny of humankind, and I think many teachers that I've read feel that same way, that when that teacher was such a thunderbolt as I was gifted with by incredible grace, it just becomes apparent that this is a step. I don't know if it's the next step, but it's a step in the evolution of humankind. You know, Osho talks about the new man, and certainly Jesus spoke about the and Old Testament and New Testament talks about the Spirit being poured over all flesh, all human beings. And you know, many of the teachers have spoken about this as just a destiny that we're moving toward, and it's, as I mentioned earlier, Bruce Fogan uses this term that I love, a choiceless obligation, that we just feel that the most important thing in the world is to share this, and what I was coming to, that to, it comes down to what I call for years the world's best multi-level marketing plan. You know, it's a pyramid scheme. You teach others who teach others who teach others who teach others, and you know, Yogananda said there will come a day where there will be a wildfire, that self-knowledge will just fire across the world. And I believe that what you're doing is just the right thing and just so beautiful. And I'm just so delighted that you agreed to come on the show, Bob. Do you want to? I'm not sure when we're going to, because we get started late. There was a little mix-up on the show. They haven't come in yet, so it seems like they're going to give us a few more minutes. Could you whisk us to a Bob Rose meditation class for a few minutes? I know you've been doing
sure.
that, but
sure.
in a setting.
Okay, no problem whatsoever.
Great, thanks.
Let's deal with something that will always let your both hemispheres of your brain be balanced. This is one I don't think we have on the website because I usually just do this one in person in our classes, and it's both relaxing and it's educational. Notice the tension in your left calf. If you're wearing clothes, feel the texture of the fabric on it. If your leg's exposed to the air, feel the air on it. Just witness that. And then simultaneously feel what your right shoulder blade is doing. Is it touching something? Or are you sitting on a chair? Can you feel the chair? Without commenting about it, just witness your right shoulder blade at the same time as your left calf. And now let's explore other body sensations. Your right big toe, what's it feeling now? What's it experiencing now? Simultaneously with your left ear. Not just what it's hearing, but what it's feeling. Can it feel the air? Do they feel like they're the same temperature? Is your hair touching your ear? Is your right toe touching a sock or a stocking or the toe next to it? Just be aware. How about your forehead and your chin? They're on the same face, but yet they're feeling totally different things. Be aware of them. How about one nostril and the other? One is inhaling more air than the other one. Which one's predominant right now in inhalation? What's one ear hearing as opposed to what another ear is hearing? Totally different thing. What's one arm feeling compared to what another arm is feeling? Now, being aware during this particular technique, and you go on and on with different body parts on other sides of your body, actually gets your left brain and your right brain harmonized. Furthermore, that which is witnessing it is your witness. You are not this body that you're witnessing. Every atom in the body has changed since we started it. Oh. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Something rang in. Every atom in your body has changed since we started this meditation technique. You're not the emotions you're feeling during this technique. They change every second. Your mind has been led during this technique, and then it runs off on its own making comments. You are that witness which can witness your body, which can witness your mind, which can witness your feelings. Be at one with that.
Bob, you know, this is so beautiful, and I'm going to, just in deference to the because I do have show schedule, and I don't want to impose too much on the next show that comes up at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we can go to meditationsociety.com or Meditation Station. I know that you have listed right now 108 plus. It looks like it's going beyond the 108, although I know that's a magic number. We'll get into that another time. Bob, thanks so much for your patience today, and so much, and thank you so much for gracing our show. And I mean that
in
many ways.
What you're doing and letting me share today.
All right, Bob. Well, great. Thanks so much, and thanks to our listeners for being patient. And I'll talk to you soon, Bob.
Right. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Sundays with Papa Jeff, and thank you, Don and Doug, for picking up on the slack. I appreciate it, and life goes on, and we made it through just beautifully, and I'm going to give way to the next show on bbsradio.com. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.